Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's Fleetwood My Max? I'm Robert Evans, and this is Behind the Bastards, a podcast where we talk about the album Rumors, which was written by a bunch of people who, when they were making it, were all bastards to one another.
With me today
to talk about Rumors is Cody Johnston and Katie Stoll. How are we doing today, everybody?
So good. So thrilled to be here to talk about Rumors with you. You know what I always think about? I always think about how hard it must have been to be Christy McVie. You know,
oh, God,
it's hard.
Yeah.
You got Stevie Nicks there. What do you
do?
She was wonderful, R.I.P. Absolutely wonderful. She got a little shined.
Outshone. It's hard. It's hard to be up against that. You know, I'm sure she was aware of it. And I think that that bleeds through. That's part of the feel that you know, that the album has. But
more importantly, you got some bees.
Who's favorite song on Rumors? Favorite song. What do we got? Is everyone just gonna say The Chain?
I was gonna say the chain too.
Like, it's just too hard to not.
Well, there's also something great about. I was talking about this over the weekend. Just like Fleetwood Mac in general, they're an amazing band because like you'll hear a song and you'll not know that it's necessarily Fleetwood Mac because they've got such a wide range of sound and vocalists. But yeah, I was gonna say The Chain.
sorry.
Yeah, it's hard, but there's a lot. Yes, it's The Chain.
Are you talking?
I also like Go Your Own Way is a jam.
Oh,
are
hell
you talking
yeah, absolutely.
Like A side,
Gold Dust Woman,
old A side and B side. Are we talking
Gold Dust like, Woman?
Like there's
A and love. B. Why would you split them up? Yeah.
All right.
Dreams. I'm sorry. There's so many. But
Dreams. Fuck.
Silver Springs.
Yeah, Secondhand News, I think, would be mine after The Chain. That's just such a fucking banger.
You're right. There's Secondhand News.
Oh, my God. What a great album. What an incredible album.
Should we start playing it
speaking
now?
Speaking of Secondhand News.
Just listen to Rumors and think about how all of the lives lost in the cocaine industry were worth it. Thank God. Thank God.
No question.
No, we should probably get on. This is, you know, a podcast. You know what the business is, right? We've been doing this for 5 years. You guys have been on dozens of times, probably.
We're doing
a little bit of a different thing this year. We have another court case to go over. The last time I had y'all both on, we talked about the big lawsuit against Fox News, and we went through the legal filing that Dominion's lawyers had against that after all the discovery. Today, we are reading through a legal complaint from Wolfram Arnold, Eric Froese, Tracy Hawkins, Joseph Killian, Laura Chan, Pytlars, and Andrew Schlakescher. Man, why did all of you have complicated names to say? Unbelievable. So
really
these guys are
thoughtless,
all
honestly.
Yeah, yeah. I'm against them already. Oh wait, no, they're suing Elon Musk, so I'm back on their side.
Oh.
So each of these people are former longtime employees of Twitter. And I'm very frustrated by this legal document from the start, because the first sentence of the introduction reads, plaintiffs are each longtime former employees of Twitter, and then in parentheses, colloquially and hereafter referred to as tweeps.
Hate it.
Wait, so they're the tweeps?
They're the tweeps.
Tweeps.
Oh, tweeps.
They're choosing to be referred to as tweeps.
That is too twee. That's too twee.
Yeah, it's way too twee.
What is going on with you? Is it that like they legitimately had so much pride in old Twitter that they had to do this? Because it's a bad decision. Like, legally,
Did the tweeps decide to call themselves the tweeps?
I can't imagine their lawyer insisted on it.
Right.
Depends. Because
that was a big part of the culture, right? That term was used to talk about them, and it was on all their little merch and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we're talking in the law. Maybe you don't need to do that.
Yeah. Maybe you could. Yeah. The alley.
Maybe if you want to be taken seriously. Just like,
yeah.
Yeah.
They could have. Horrible. I mean, twits is right there, but I
twits
guess
is right there
on connotation.
The twarps. Yeah. These people who the lawsuit informs us have more than 60 years of collective experience working for the company were all either fired or constructively discharged by Twitter right after Musk took over. Some of these guys were pretty senior. There's a vice president in there. There's a global lead in there when they got shit canned. Quote, and due to that seniority, some of them were in the room where it happened after Musk's takeover of Twitter, privy to and participants in high-level discussions and deliberations among Twitter's new leadership after the merger. Led by Musk and the cadres of sycophants who were internally referred to as the transition team, Twitter's new leadership deliberately, specifically, and repeatedly announced their intentions to breach contracts, violate laws, and otherwise ignore their legal obligations. And they put those words into action. Plaintiff Killiam was forced to resign from Twitter after being repeatedly and specifically directed to violate California's building codes in ways that potentially put tweep lives at risk. See, if you say it like that, you're making a very serious allegation, and I can't take it seriously when
say
you frame
people's
it
lives.
Human lives.
Because I was immediately like, tweep? Oh, yeah. No.
Because like, also,
I'm
going to
be honest, guys, I'm okay with tweeps dying. You know, I'm not okay with people dying, but tweeps?
But tweeps?
That's some other thing.
Yeah.
When they say the phrase, they were in the room where it happened, is that in italics?
No, it's in quotation marks. I think it's a reference to that book by that Trump staffer, In the Room Where It Happened.
I think it also, knowing the content and the context and the fact that they're calling someone's tweeps, I think that it also might be a Hamilton reference.
Oh my God, are you kidding me?
There's a song called The Room Where It Happens in, yeah, I'm pretty
sure. Oh yeah, there is, from Hamilton.
Cody, did you eventually watch Hamilton?
Yeah, it was on one of those streamers, and I watched it.
I thought you couldn't stomach it because of Lin-Manuel.
I couldn't. I've got a lot of thoughts on it.
Oh my God! So
yeah, he's really corny, and I think shouldn't have been the guy in the show. But whatever.
Oh yeah, put yourself room, as the lead. The, right? Yes. Put yourself as
can't sing, shouldn't be there. Whatever, it's fine.
Yeah.
The Room Where It Happened is the White House memoir of John Bolton, former National Security Advisor. So they're either making a Hamilton or a John Bolton reference. Either way, I'm not.
They're calling themselves tweeps. It's definitely a Hamilton reference. Guys, like, there's no question.
Mm-hmm. Guys and girls, everyone.
Guys
tweeps,
and dolls.
Do you want us to take you seriously?
Don't call yourselves tweeps.
Call yourselves tweeps, and don't reference either Hamilton or John Bolton.
Right.
Not in your legal filing. This is, don't
within
be
the first three sentences.
Like, you are alleging that Elon Musk ordered you to violate California building codes in a way that put human lives at risk. You don't need to be twee. Like, we don't need to make this I'm very frustrated.
You don't need to put on a pantsuit and sing hallelujah while you
over the fucking Twitter old guard. Yeah, very funny. I expected to be more immediately on board with the people suing Elon Musk because I hate him so much, but they have done the hard work of making me right in the middle so far. I am I am steering down the median on a fucking crotch rocket at the moment. So In ways that potentially put Tweep lives at risk. In building the Twitter hotel rooms Musk wanted for Tweeps, he would be pushing to work through the night. Plaintiff Hawkins was forced to resign after Musk and his transition team fundamentally changed the nature of her job and threatened her professional reputation by directing Twitter to breach its leases and essentially steal space from its landlords. Elon doesn't play rent.
They're still doing a little what?
I know.
He's stealing space from landlords. I don't know. It's
again, I'm very frustrated.
Against, not fully for yet.
Because, like, the thing that Elon's that comes next is, like, he one of Elon's transition team members told Hawkins, Elon doesn't pay rent, and Elon told me he would only pay rent over his dead body. And I'm frustrated at the degree of, like, again, especially since he spent so much time, like, flipping out over crime in San Francisco. He's, like, this big law and order fascist weirdo now. The fact that he just refuses to pay rent, like, fuck him. Like, that makes me extra angry for Elon Musk. But also, like, I don't know. It is hard to make someone get too outraged about stealing from, like, a giant corporate landlord.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension here.
if you want me to be like, well, maybe there's one cool corporate landlord, I don't know, send in, like, mercenaries to force Twitter out of their offices, right?
There's an idea.
Like, impound their servers, you know? Like, be a real asshole about it. And then at least you'll be a cool, like, corporate ghoul, you know? Go for it, guys. Think about what that guy, the bad guy in RoboCop, would do in this situation. Mm-hmm. You know?
There are ways.
He would send Boddicker in to, like, fucking beat the shit out of Elon Musk when he's having a cocaine party, you know? That's what he, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, if Ed 209 destroyed Twitter's offices, I'd be like, all right, well.
I'd be like, what? Okay.
What are we
okay.
All right.
One landlord gets to stay a landlord. So both Killian and Hawkins were told that from Musk, the fact that Twitter was legally or contractually obligated to pay a particular sum would be irrelevant to the decision of whether to actually pay it when that amount came due, that Musk operated on a zero cost basis, and that Twitter would therefore simply decide afresh for each significant expense whether or not it wanted to pay what it owed. This seems very illegal. But he's got enough money that it's not, right?
Yeah.
Like, because he can just hold it up in court for forever. And
it'll be fine.
It's very frustrating. There's a lot of people on the streets in San Francisco because they couldn't pay, you know, what they owed in rent or whatever. And Elon's just going to continue advocating they'd be put in death camps, I guess. That's cool.
Exactly.
It is interesting how differently we treat these two very different examples of rent evasion.
Like, I would be surprised if the total number of people evicted in San Francisco last year, like the amount that they owed that got them evicted, equaled what Musk has failed to pay on his properties
100%.
In the city. Yeah.
It's just thinking about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Anyway.
Okay,
cool.
Back on board with the tweeps.
Back on with the tweeps. The tweeps say that Musk flatly refused to pay them their contractually required severance. This was severance that Twitter and Musk had in order to induce tweeps to stay through the close of the merger, promised would be paid if Musk conducted a layoff, in which Twitter and X Holdings had bound themselves to pay under the terms of the merger agreement. Seems clear that they owed this money. And basically the allegation is that Musk never even intended to pay people, right? Like, he was just lying to get people to work without paying. Which is, like, I don't know, that's in, like, the neighborhood. That's, like, that's illegal. Like, you're not allowed to make people work without paying them.
No,
I would say it's not just in the neighborhood. It's staunchly, like,
That seems like crimey.
That's like the town square.
Even if it's not crimey, it's unethical and immoral, and he's a bad person. I'll throw that out there.
Yeah, but how could it not be crimey?
Musk went so far as to insist publicly that tweeps he fired are not entitled to any severance at all beyond WARN Act notice. In hindsight, it appears that he also inserted a legally ineffective specific no third-party beneficiaries clause in the merger agreement's provisions relating to severance in a failed attempt to prevent tweeps from enforcing those provisions. Plaintiffs bring this action for a declaratory judgment against the merger agreement and the related but independent promises and representations to the tweeps, entitle them to the promised severance, to recover that severance as well as punitive damages for defendants' flagrant bad faith, yada, yada, yada. They quote a bunch of laws that Musk probably did, in fact, break. We go in, we detail the case of, like, a couple of these people. They're just kind of, like, listing their work histories, which I don't feel like we need to know for any particularly entertaining reading. Yeah. Worked at Twitter, spent a lot of time as a tweeper, tweeping up, you know, pretty hard. Defendant Musk is, on information and belief, a citizen of the state of Texas residing in Boca Chica, Texas. I wonder how much time he spends in Boca Chica, but people have been allowed to fake being from Texas for forever. We had a whole president do it once. Look it up, people. Yeah. All right, so now we're up to the factual background statement here. This litigation arises out of Twitter's This litigation arises out of Twitter's attempt to avoid paying its ex-employees the severance it promised them. Twitter made these promises many times and in many ways. Twitter made these promises in their initial offer letters to the plaintiffs. Twitter made the same promise explicit in its agreement to sell the company to Musk, negotiating for a clause in the agreement that protected its employees by ensuring they would receive severance at least as favorable during the post-merger period as they had under the old management. And Twitter went out of its way to make additional promises and representations to its employees to allay their concerns in advance of its purchase by Musk, and to convince them to stay employed at Twitter pending the close of this transaction. Twitter broke all these promises, breaching its enforceable agreements with its former employees in the process. Now, I'm going to say this right now. I suspect the people who sold Twitter to Musk, the former people running it, the former board, were well aware that all these employees were going to get fucked and simply didn't care because they got their bag, right?
Yeah, that's why the deal was made, because them so much money.
Like, I don't have any sympathy or, I don't know, care for the people that sold Twitter in general.
No. I mean, I it seems like they ought to be liable to some extent too. Uh-huh. Like there's some sort of due diligence they should, I'm sure they did enough legally. I don't think they actually have any exposure there. I just think it's immoral. So it just kind of goes through the details of the merger, the details of like how they set up this severance agreement. Twitter committed to providing employees with 2 months base salary or incentive-based salary for sales employees, prorated performance bonuses as though all triggers for such bonuses has been hit. The cash value of any RSUs, those are like internal stock units that would have vested within 3 months of separation. Cash contribution through the continuance of healthcare coverage. So it's like a pretty good severance agreement. I think it's better than we got it cracked.
That sounds right.
Yeah, that sounds what they
I can't speak to that because accurate. They never hired me.
Full time. Well, corporate America, something none of us have any issues with. I don't know. All these tweets. These tweets seem like they were promised a pretty sweet deal if they stayed on to like ensure the company didn't fall apart right before the deal. And then Musk immediately
supposed to fall apart as soon like as months later.
That makes sense. So they list some of the different things that Musk said during the process of like that whole back and forth over whether or not he was going to acquire it, the lawsuit against Twitter. Here we get to a point where that's titled Twitter's employees are worried about the pending Musk takeover and Twitter makes representations to address their concerns. This should be some inside gossip. With the promise of Twitter being acquired by one of its fiercest critics, many tweeps were understandably very concerned about their future, particularly about the potential effects of the merger on their jobs. Layoffs had already been discussed as a possibility even prior to the acquisition, and it was widely reported that cuts would be needed as a consequence of the additional debt that Twitter was incurring as part of the acquisition. Given his criticisms, it was also viewed that Musk would make additional material changes at Twitter. Twitter took these concerns very seriously. If a significant number of tweeps were worried enough about their future to seek new employment, it would harm Twitter's ability to continue to function smoothly while the deal was in process. Twitter, therefore, took several steps to reassure its employees. They negotiated this merger agreement. Let me get down here to the next set of good stuff. Twitter also benefited from a degree of stability via employee retention during the pendency of the acquisition and the related litigation. That reduced the chances of an acquisition threatening material adverse event, protecting the chances the deal would be consummated. And Musk, in extending an offer to entice employees to stay pending his acquisition, also received stability, the promise of a company that would be, when he completed his takeover, largely in the condition it was made before the offer, allowing him to begin to reshape Twitter from a stable foundation. Nevertheless, tweeps remained concerned about the consequences of the acquisition. acquisition. Twitter issued an acquisition FAQ to provide employees with a resource. The FAQ detailed reassurances and representations to employees regarding their compensation, how equity grants would be handled. It explicitly stated that in the event of a layoff, any employee whose job would be is impacted would be eligible for a severance. They had meetings and stuff about this. Twitter orally communicated to its employees that Musk had made the severance stability promise in the merger agreement. At one point, a tweet posted to Twitter's internal Slack, tagging Twitter's C-suite leadership and communicating that the details of Twitter's severance would be critical to employees' decisions to remain pending the close of the merger. So yeah, they're really building a case here that like both the value to the people who owned Twitter and ran it previously and the value to Musk was reliant upon folks staying and keeping the site stable, and that they had to do that. To do that, both of them basically had to run a con on the workforce of Twitter. I think it's been more of a con on Musk than it has been on it has kind of fallen apart for him as well, because the news just came out today that the company's valued at about a third of what it was when he bought it. But
yeah. I laughed out loud.
Both of them definitely had to screw over all of these people in order to carry out their plans.
Yes.
It seems pretty clear what was going on all around here.
Yeah, they just wanted everyone to shut up so they could make the deal happen.
Yeah. Almost immediately upon Musk's arrival at Twitter, he instead purported to terminate executives for cause. On information and belief, this occurred in some cases within hours of the takeover. In fact, on information and belief, Musk did not even intend to have Twitter pay the director's office and officers indemnification and insurance premiums as required by Section 6.6 of the merger agreement. On information and belief, a Twitter employee with access to Twitter's accounts and capacity to execute the payment made that payment despite Musk's specific objections, preventing a breach of the merger agreement, and this employee was fired for doing so. So basically, Musk was required to pay indemnification and insurance premiums as part of the merger agreement, which is that's something he's required to do under state law to keep the company functioning legally. And he directed an employee to cancel the payment because he's saying basically don't pay money for anything. And so this person follows the law and makes the payment, and Musk fires them.
That's
wow,
very funny.
So absurd.
Yeah.
Good leadership.
It is good leadership.
That's not what I really mean.
Yeah. So obviously what's up?
Oh, just that broken brain thing of you're so rich and powerful and you have this idea of yourself and your view that you're just don't do it. Just don't do anything.
Right.
Just it doesn't matter. The idea of buying this company and we're not going to spend any money and if we do you're fired, it's the idea that would work out for him.
When you're that rich and powerful, you get away with lots of stuff. Look at him not paying rent.
And you think you can, and maybe he can and nothing will come of this.
Are you really?
It's interesting. Also seeing all this stuff, because first we saw it as one might call it secondhand news.
Yeah, perfect.
Back
excellent.
In the day when you get these little tidbits, these little snippets of this person said that he did this, and just seeing it all laid out in this legal complaint is interesting.
It is interesting, and I think so. A lot of this is kind of going over the stuff that was reported one way or the other, as it was happening. So if you don't remember, back on November 3rd, 2022, after the acquisition, he sent out an email basically saying, hey, we're going to have a meeting tomorrow and you'll know who's getting shit canned. The next day, November 4th, they fired half of the company. It seems like the layoffs were largely organized by SpaceX and Tesla employees who sort of came in and help him build lists. Mm-hmm. He brought in, that's what's alleged here at least. On information belief, Musk used engineers from his other companies, Tesla and SpaceX, to help determine which tweets would be included in the November 4th layoff.
Putting engineers in charge of that is so weird.
Especially since so much of the jobs aren't engineering. For example, being the people who pay to keep mandated insurance.
Yeah,
active.
No, it's just this weird billionaire engineer brain.
People in HR or people that are trained for these kinds of conversation is one thing, but engineers.
Yeah. Also, like the people who are worst at, I don't know, managing. Like,
do you think that they just got people in the room and played "Go Your Own Way"?
Yeah, mm-hmm. You should go your own way. Ah, man, what a bad. No, you nailed it.
it's all happening, yeah, folks.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, at this point, Twitter's been gutted, you know, much like a big game hunter who gets impaled by a tusk. Huh? There we go.
There we go. I was going to say, much like feeling? Stevie Nicks in that breakup, but I like yours better.
Yeah. Okay, that works too. So the next thing that happens is they start firing people after this, like, first wave of layoffs. You know, they're agreeing to pay severance, and they're going to fuck with a lot of those people on severance. But in order to avoid paying severance, the next thing that Twitter does is they start, over the next few days, firing even more people, saying they were in violation of Twitter policy. These are for cause terminations, so like they don't have to do the same things they have to do in like layoffs, re severance. So it's fuckery. It's also like bad for people's careers. It's one thing if like, yeah, that company, the boss gutted it and everybody got laid off, but they didn't necessarily do anything wrong. That doesn't necessarily hurt your chances of getting hired mm-hmm. again, as opposed to like getting fired for violating right. company policy, which is extra shitty.
Making a payment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, or for paying a mandated insurance.
Following the law. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know who does follow the law?
Products. It couldn't possibly products and services.
I think it has to be. It's got to be.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Most do.
They nearly all of them do. I mean, we are sponsored by the Sinaloa cartel, who have a little bit of a history of rule breaking. But for the most part, all of our sponsors are law abiding.
Mm-hmm. Who doesn't rule breaking, like a law abiding bad boy?
Yeah.
Or girl.
Good stuff.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards. And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back, and we're going to continue, because as our fans always say, don't stop. Oh boy!
They're always saying, they voted in a landslide.
Yeah. Yeah, this is really the episode of some of our fans' dreams. Oh boy, we should. That's,
we can't break this.
This has
chain.
Gone too
Let's
far.
Keep going.
Yeah, no, yeah. There we go. Ouch. So,
Oh no! I accidentally started playing Rumors on my phone.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the allegations against Musk are based on, well, you know, the phrase they use is based on information and belief. But what is that if not rumors?
If not rumors.
Okay.
Sorry,
too much.
I just took a sip of Red Bull and it like burned.
Yeah,
I snorted it. Yes, we're having fun.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So the next thing that Musk announces is that Twitter's ending its remote work policy and all workers have to immediately report to a physical Twitter office. This was a real problem for people who lived like hundreds of miles from Twitter offices and could not do this. Musk updated the policy after this was pointed out to him and said that Twitter would allow for a transition period for remote workers who live too far away to move to a location closer to Twitter. That's a good decision to like uproot your entire life and move across country for a job that appears to be collapsing every minute.
It doesn't need you there.
Yeah.
And probably won't exist in like 6 months.
That seems like a good call. Later, the policy morphed into one in which managers could allow their reports to work remotely if they chose to, but would themselves be fired if the employees they allowed to work from home did not perform up to Musk's undefined and unarticulated standards. Mm. What a great working environment.
Well, he's not a very articulate person.
No,
so I don't
know.
He's
dumb and kind of an asshole. Yeah. So
you think the owner of social media communication platform is so bad at communicating.
Well, he bought it, you know, like he purchased.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. So in mid-November, Musk sent another email with a link to an online form and an ultimatum. Any Twitter employee who wanted to keep their job at Twitter would need to affirmatively indicate their consent by checking a box on an online form to a more hardcore working environment, which would mean long hours at high intensity. And in a transparent attempt to avoid the severance obligation to which he had bound himself, Musk unilaterally decreed that employees who did not affirmatively check the box would be deemed to have voluntarily resigned in exchange for 2 months of non-working leave and a single month's post-separation pay. That's cool.
How you run a company is how you show your employees that you're gonna do a good job.
Well, it's really important.
Doesn't he want people to like have kids and raise a family, but like he also wants them to like spend like 12 hours a day sleeping at the office?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that. Well, does he want everybody to have kids and raise a family?
Oh, also,
certain types of people to have kids and raise.
He also
lots
cut
of kids.
Paternity and maternity leave for his employees as well, but
he doesn't want his employees doing that. Other
full
people
full of contradictions. Exactly. That one is.
Yeah, vaguely other people should be doing that. So as part of this wave of layoffs, a substantial number of employees were laid off because they did not immediately affirmatively agree to the material changes to their working conditions that Musk had demanded. And yet that still wasn't enough. After the November 17th layoff, Musk again turned to engineers from his other companies to conduct code reviews of code written by Twitter employees. The code reviews were a clear pretext to attempt additional for-cause firings. The reviewers lacked the context to meaningfully evaluate the code, and the reviews were completed in an amount of time that was clearly insufficient for any good-faith approach of the task. After the code reviews, Twitter fired multiple employees on the pretext that their work was not up to standard. Many of those employees had received uniformly positive performance reviews prior to being fired. Other employees were put on performance improvement plans in a transparent attempt to lay the groundwork for future for-cause firings. The slapdash, bad-faith nature of these reviews was open and obvious. Some managers acknowledged that they were instructed to stack rank their employees so that at least some of the employees in each group would be fired or placed on performance improvement plans, even if all were performing adequately. Other managers specifically informed employees that the managers had placed on PIPs that the employees could keep doing what they were doing because their performance did not require improvement. Other managers could not identify the standard by which they had assessed particular performance as requiring improvement, and at least some fired employees were informed that they had been fired by mistake and asked to return to work. All told, on information and belief, Twitter laid off, fired, or engineered the resignations of over 5,000 employees within less than 2 months.
Ooh.
That's
Beautiful stuff. Yeah. Real, real impressive leadership right there.
Yeah.
I was going to just say, firing, all of this stuff is very time consuming. All of the work that's being put into fucking over the employees and firing them, and then, oh, whoops, these are the ones that arguably too much attention when there's vital things that need to be done at the company. Anyway, sorry, Cody, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, that's true. It's just he did that interview, an interview recently where they talked about this, and basically he's like, yeah, we're going to try to hire a bunch of people back, and maybe people we fired will want to come back, like very recently, like this is the plan. And it's just so, because he didn't even like, I saw some Twitter Blue subscribers be like, oh, I love this, because like, you know, being able to own your mistakes. No. He didn't say it was a mistake. He said that he had to do it. This is all in the pretext that like, I have to get rid of this many people. I have to. And now that he did, he's like, well, we'll hire them back. That's still not admitting the mistake. He's still saying he had to do it. He's just saying he's going to do this new thing now.
And it's very funny that he thinks these people are going to return to work, because I guarantee you they are never going back again.
Oh my God. No, why would you?
Katie,
I didn't
got
see the one.
Oh my gosh. Come on. Get out of here.
Oh man.
I was just agreeing
that
with you.
That was so good. That was so good.
Love it.
Nom, 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 nom. Good stuff.
Yeah, you make loving stuff. Fun, Robert.
That's something no one has ever said to Elon Musk.
God, no. No, they have not.
Oh, fuck. So let's go to the story of one of the people who's a party to this lawsuit, Plaintiff Hawkins. Hawkins was Twitter's vice president of real estate and workplace, responsible for its office leases and managing its offices. So you can tell this person's not going to be long for the company, because Elon's no longer dealing with any of that. Talks about her whole career, which I don't really care about. But yeah, so she's not opposed. It says that she was not opposed to the merger or the concept of Musk as Twitter's new CEO. She received word of the impending merger deal while on family vacation. Didn't know a lot about Musk at the time. I don't think that's possible, but okay. It just seems weird that you wouldn't know a lot about Elon Musk and live in the Bay in the tech industry. But yeah, maybe.
Probably. Well, I guess there's like you can not know about him, but you can know. Like, yeah, he's the Tesla guy.
Yeah, he's the Tesla guy. That's probably what she means. Given the uncertainty, her focus in the period leading up to the merger and the leadership she provided her team centered around one basic principle. Let's focus on doing our jobs and protecting our people. During the pendency of the merger, employee retention was a critical concern, as we've talked about, yada, yada, yada. As the closing of the merger approached, Musk's behavior heightened Hawkins' concerns. He showed up to an all-hands meeting exactly once, arriving late and spending his time talking about extraterrestrials.
God.
Is that funny?
I bet that's the one where he also talked about gizmos and how he likes gizmos.
That may be. I think that may come a little bit later. Clear. He was talking about aliens this whole time, and all of these tweets were just saying, I don't want to know.
He's such a dork. It's just like one of those that he thinks he's so interesting and like, everyone's so boring. I have the great conversations, but he's only got these stock things. He has like a thing he says about aliens and a thing he says about simulations. And that's it. Like, that's his idea of like,
It's very much like a push button, get bacon attitude to comedy.
But like, he thinks it's like this, like deep, like interesting conversation that goes beyond his one, like talking point about it. But, you know, maybe he's not. Maybe he's fascinating.
So he shows up once. He bullshits about aliens. Even after that meeting, Hawkins kept an open mind, hoping that Musk's odd behavior would not impact his leadership once he took over Twitter and the employees were part of his team. But Hawkins also formed a strong determination to remain at Twitter, at least throughout any transition period, in order to shepherd her team through the transition. The reality of Musk's new directives and operation of Twitter almost immediately shattered that determination. Upon Musk's arrival at Twitter, he brought with him a transition team of executives and sycophants from his other companies, from whom Musk directed Twitter's employees to take direction. This is the transition team. He also brought over Tesla engineers to, upon information and belief, make retention and termination decisions. The transition team decreed that no managers were allowed to communicate with their teams via Slack. Which what? Just like just nukes the business, right? Like this is the only way we communicate for most things. And you're like, nobody gets to do this. They froze all payments to vendors until they could be verified. No explanations were ever given as to like what this meant or why it was being done. Yeah, it basically Twitter was just breaching contracts en masse without like informing the vendors or the employees communicating with these vendors as to why. Faced with tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars in outstanding invoices with no reasonable expectation of timely payment, many of these vendors informed Twitter that they would not be performing further work for Twitter until those invoices were paid. Which is, by the way, part of why DeSantis's announcement was a failure, is that Twitter hadn't paid a major vendor that was responsible for, like, keeping Twitter spaces up and online.
Yeah, specific to spaces, yeah.
Yeah, very funny. But you know who does pay all their vendors? Because their vendors are me.
They pay you over and over.
Our ads, yeah, yeah. That's who I get paid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So help me get paid. Terrible.
Did you get paid, Robert? Did you get paid?
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of Exo Jackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, Exo Jackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at exojacqui.com. Made for women by women.
Robert Evans here, and as a kid, I loved playing Monopoly, but my favorite thing about it was robbing the bank, you know, working with my friends to pull over a con on somebody else, even heisting their money sometimes. And now Monopoly Go brings that fun to your phone. It's one of those games that can bring out the most devious version of ourselves. You can bankrupt your friends by pulling heists on their vaults and even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with your friends to unlock prizes or try to top the leaderboards. And whether you're working with somebody or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is a huge blast. Go download it now for free on the App Store or Google Play.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, we're back, and I'm counting up my money. I'm counting up my money, which is why everyone calls me the Gold Dust Woman. I don't know. That one was going to be hard to fit in.
That was going to be hard to fit in. I was wondering how it was going to fit in. That's good. That was really good. Well, I mean, the other one,
I think you're praising me a little too much, but yeah, thank you.
It is your show, Robert. Yeah.
You did both miss one that I did a little bit ago.
What did you do?
Yeah, I was pretty proud about this, but yeah, I've also forgotten which one I did. But you missed one, listeners. You can go search for it. It was yeah, like 7 minutes ago. You know, nobody commented on it. Pull up the set list for Rumors and figure out which one I did. You'll get a prize. You'll get a prize. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And like Elon Musk, I will probably not follow through with this promise. But you know,
would you
whatever.
Say it's a little lie?
Was it not that funny?
Yeah, I'm telling you sweet little lies. Oh man, good stuff. So yeah, Twitter fired these vendors when they were like, you know, had issue with not getting paid. Musk attempted to halt the payment of his employees' contractually mandated November RSU vests. Like, these people were guaranteed by their contracts a certain like number of vested like internal stock units that he's just saying attempting to not pay people. God, what a piece of shit. Robert Kaden was fired shortly after the November vest payments went through. On information belief, Kaden was fired because of his actions in making the November RSU payment in compliance with Twitter's obligations over Musk's objections. Delana Brand, Twitter's chief people officer and Hawkins' direct manager, handed in her notice within days after the merger closed because she was disgusted at how people were being treated. On or about October 30th, 2022, Hawkins attended a meeting with Steve Davis, Jared Burchall, and many of Twitter's global leaders. In that meeting, Davis announced several changes that boded ill for Hawkins' team and her role at Twitter. First, he announced that Twitter's sourcing and procurement team should handle all lease negotiations from that point forward, despite lacking both personnel and experience sufficient to handle this task. Next, he announced that the company would no longer be working with brokers to procure and negotiate leases. This choice ran in conflict with every established standard and practice of commercial real estate management. And obviously, this is like a massive burden on the in-house staff, which has just been like cut viciously. The only justification given for changes was Elon wants this. Very soon thereafter, Davis informed Hawkins that Twitter needed to find $500 million in annual savings. So to just do this, just a half billion. Yeah. Sophie, by the way, I'd like us to find $500 million in savings this year for the company. Can we get the team on that? You know,
sure.
Maybe, yeah.
Get the engineers on that.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm willing to cut out coffee. Garrison's going to need to find like $300 or $400 million. Yeah, together, I think that'll do it. My $100 million in coffee and another $300 or $400 million, we can make it. Yeah.
Sure. I think that might be too much coffee anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right. It'll be good for my heart. For you. No, I should just switch to cocaine again. That was just like $20 or $30 million a year.
I was going to say tea, maybe switch to tea.
Wow. Maybe. I don't know about cocaine, that. That's kind of okay, English. Okay, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't think Fleetwood Mac did too much tea, but they sure went into cocaine.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Rumors wasn't made on Earl Grey, Cody. That was made on China White. Anyway, to accomplish this, each global lead was given a massive spreadsheet that had to be filled out every single day, identifying possible savings opportunities. Hawkins' spreadsheet covered 30 locations and upwards of 50 leases. The pressure to fill in the spreadsheet on time was immense. Expectations from above made it clear that compliance was prioritized above accuracy. That's a good, you know, you're making a good team when people are like, you don't actually need to do your job as long as you're on time.
That is wild.
That's so funny. That's super funny.
It's that Marvel thing where like 5 months ago they were like, we're gonna stop focusing on quantity and start focusing on quality. It's like, yeah, you gotta.
Yeah.
Make,
you gotta what were do you guys doing job. Before? Like, how would you describe what you were doing prior to this?
Make sure it's good first.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. It's pretty. Pretty good stuff. For example, Twitter instructed Hawkins to identify leases for cancellation. When she identified potential sites and leases that could be terminated for cost savings, Hawkins and her team took the time to document risk factors involved in downsizing or terminating these leases. One of the big things is that, like, if you break a lease early, you often have to pay a fee. Like, if you do that with your apartment, you might have to pay like an extra month of rent. If mm-hmm. you do that for like a giant corporate lease for thousands of workers, it could be significantly more money.
One would imagine.
Yeah. And it notes, when the time came to present their conclusions, this added context was not well received. When informed of the risks of termination fees during a meeting on November 3rd, 2022, Steve Davis said, well, we just won't pay those. We just won't pay landlords. Davis also told Hawkins, we just won't pay rent. Those are direct quotes from Davis, per Hawkins' best recollection. To the extent that they are not word for word accurate, they are extremely tight paraphrase, bada, bada, bada. Hawkins is shocked because part of her job, like, is reputation based. Like, I am the person managing leases for this company, and we will meet our obligations.
Yeah, we pay on time. We pay the amount.
Yeah,
paid in general. We pay.
Again, it's one of those things that, in order for Elon to meet his cost saving goals, this woman has to like destroy her future in the business, knowing that she will immediately mm-hmm. get shit canned as soon as possible. It's exactly. just like yeah. such a gross guy and way of looking at people and looking at business. Like, it's
he
hard to be.
He looks through just, people. He doesn't look at them.
No, he is incapable of like seeing or caring about human beings. Which
yeah,
is
they're all sort of tools or little pieces for his.
Yeah.
Lack of a plan, I guess.
Players only love you when they're playing.
Yeah, that's what everyone says about Elon Musk. So
I don't know. That one was shoehorned in. I see.
It's works, okay. Works. Look, a lot of these are going to be half-assed, guys. But, you know, like we're just not going to make it all them all work very well. Unwilling to be involved in, let alone responsible for such thefts, Hawkins resigned the next day. He is asking her to steal. She did so despite her internal commitment to remain through the transition to protect her team because she had no other choice. Yeah, I get that. That kind of scans. Like, he is saying, I need you to commit a series of crimes for me, Elon Musk, a man incapable of loyalty. So, yeah.
Right, that's the other thing. Like, there's no, like, there's just... Even if you're like on his good side at one point,
it's
like,
worth nothing. Yeah,
it's worth nothing. And you're worth nothing to him. And as soon as you even like not even like barely a challenge will turn him around.
Well,
and then
also,
you're gone.
Who becomes the scapegoat for things actually in this situation when shit hits the fan? You know, they're more likely to get wrapped up in that. Elon Musk isn't. Clearly, he can evade all of it. We've all seen Succession. I think, right? We've seen it. Maybe Robert hasn't.
No. It happens. Yeah. I don't know. I get why she did what she did. Killian is the next person we talk about. Joseph Killian. He was Twitter's global head of construction and design. He was immediately given Hawkins' duties after she quits. He worked directly with the transition team and was directed by Steve Davis and Liz Jenkins, who worked for The Boring Company, and Pablo Mendoza, a venture capitalist who invested with Musk. So that's cool.
Is Boring still a company?
Oh, God. Like, yeah, I mean, it's a big scam, but they still are a company. They dug that stupid hole in Las Vegas. I went through
that
thing.
Like
it was dumb
ago.
As fuck.
I feel like they're not a company anymore.
I mean, they have engaged in what are effectively a series of cons, like roping in local governments to agree to work with them and then actually like
and pulling it out and then like canceling other more viable transportation plans.
Yeah, just to fuck with, like, public transportation. So I just noted, like, this guy, Killian, gets given Hawkins' job, and he's being managed by Steve Davis and Liz Jenkins, who work for The Boring Company. And then there's this bit, which is amazing. Killian was also directed in these activities by Nicole Hollander. On Information and Belief, Hollander was not employed by any of Musk's companies. On Information and Belief, Hollander is Steve Davis's girlfriend and the mother of his child.
What?
So Musk's, like, transition team are just like hiring their girlfriends to manage the people in committing real estate fraud. It's so
again, is that like it's that sycophant thing where it's like, yeah, if you like say,
oh my god, on Information and Belief, Hollander was living at Twitter headquarters with Davis and their infant child, who was a month older. What the fuck?
Yeah, family values.
Awesome. Despite not being employed by any of Musk's companies, Hollander nonetheless had full instructional authority over Killian and the rest of his team with regards to the transition. Almost immediately, Musk's zero-cost basis policy reared its head. Killian was informed by the transition team that he would have to justify his spin to Musk personally, and that if Musk was not convinced that the expenses were necessary, he would simply default on his contractual obligations and let the expenses go unpaid. In early November, Davis sent a 3 a.m. email to 15 or 20 managers complaining about Twitter's rent obligations, which totaled $130 million annually. In this email, Davis specifically compared Twitter's rent obligations to SpaceX's, noting that Twitter had one-tenth as many employees as SpaceX, but paid five times as much rent annually. Of course, Twitter had significantly more employees when it first incurred its rent obligations. Killian quickly became concerned that Musk intended to stop paying rent on Twitter's outstanding leases, breaching the contracts and placing the company at risk of being evicted. Indeed, Musk's attorney, Alex Spiro, loudly opined that it was unreasonable for Twitter's landlords to expect Twitter to pay rent, since San Francisco was a shithole. Oh, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. Is that the only thing you need to have pay rent? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this this city with a fraction of the violent crime of, for example, many parts of Texas is.
I was just going to say, because if that's the case, I think we could apply it to a lot of places.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated by this man and all of the people around him.
He's a very hateable man.
Yeah, he incredibly hateable old man or piece of shit, whatever. Musk even went so far as to prevent Twitter from paying the janitorial staff for the work they had already provided after the janitors complained about being fired. In essence, it quickly became clear to Killian that Musk's intended method of operation was to obtain services from vendors without any intention of keeping the agreements or paying for services requested and received. In other words, it was robbing people, like stealing from them. Mm. Theft, mm-hmm. The thing that he's complained about happening on the street of San Francisco.
Well, it's okay if you wear a suit and do it.
Yeah, it's great if you wear a suit and do it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Again, it's what kind. Yeah, I'm agreeing with you.
It's
you're agreeing with me because I know I'm not wrong.
I feel like if we're going to have these really fucked up stand your ground laws, you know, where people can basically like commit murder if they feel like their car is going to get stolen or something. Mm-hmm. I feel like you should have the right to do that if you're like a janitor working for Elon Musk. Like you should be allowed to draw on him. You know? I think that this is a self-defense mm-hmm. situation.
Musk's law.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Whatever. I don't know. This is so disheartening.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. And just I guess I've seen some of the veil get lifted and sort of like people's like rose-colored glasses on about him be taken off a bit, but it's just obvious the kind of person he is and like how he doesn't really care about a lot of the stuff he says he cares about. It's just, I don't know. It sucks. Hate it.
Yeah, it sucks. Yeah, he just cares about being. It's... Yeah, he sees himself primarily as an entertainer because for some reason, like all of the worst people in America, his primary goal is to like be famous for making people like laugh or whatever. Like it's weird mm-hmm. because like stand-up comedians are the most miserable people in the world, and also all of the worst richest people desperately wish they were a stand-up comedian. Like you saw it when fucking Dave Chappelle brought him out that like, oh, when if you Chappelle could only, if you could only have an audience eating out of the palm of your hand, you would be happier than you've ever been in your life. Well, but like,
it's the one thing you can't buy. And we've talked about that on various shows that we've been on or have. But, you know, obviously this was not a cool kid. He's not a well-liked person.
No.
The only cachet that he's ever had is his money. He's not even a smart, innovative person. Every idea he's had is someone else's idea that he's tanking. I mean, are any of his businesses doing well?
Yeah, you see it a lot also with like the AI quote unquote boom, where it's so clear some of this is just like, oh, you just wish you were a little more creative. Like,
yeah, that's why they hate writers.
That's why you hate, exactly. You hate artists, musicians. You hate writers, you hate musicians, you hate creators because you can't do it well, or you're not praised enough for it or whatever. And so you have to have the machine do it poorly.
I think. What we actually need to solve most of our problems, a basic income that ensures that like people could just like paint or make music or do comedy and survive. And here's the key part. Then we use AI to give the people who are worst at it a fan base. So they feel like they're successful and they don't become Steven Crowder. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We make Ben Shapiro feel like he's got fans. Yeah. They'll never meet them.
They do the,
yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then we Daily Wire.
This person doesn't exist account where they make like, oh, this is a fake person. It is made with a bunch of people, an audience of them following him and clapping and clicking the like button. Praising is bad pilot.
Now I'm envisioning like a black.
I know they're saying that a what?
And I'm envisioning like a Black Mirror episode where some journalist is like confused at how there's so many Ben Shapiro fans of his TV writing, or like how Elon Musk is such a successful stand-up comedian. Mm-hmm. And he cracks the case, and then like the FBI has to come destroy him because you don't know what we're keeping at bay.
You gotta let him. Yeah.
You can, we have to let them think they're good.
Let the algorithm
this
do its
good.
Business.
But I mean, this scenario, look, was it? Couple days ago, the Godfather of AI comes out saying, this could be our lead to our
end of the world,
our annihilation. Now I'm like, maybe this is our saving grace.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Positive reframe.
Yeah. But you know what's even better than AI providing a fan base for all of the weirdo right-wing culture warriors who got into advocating genocide because nobody laughed at their jokes?
I don't want to know.
It's you.
Oh.
It's both of you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, is this our time to plug stuff?
Yeah.
I thought it was a time to do one last Fleetwood Mac reference.
Oh, I mean, we could.
We still can.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
This has been one of my dreams. No, that was bad. That was
no, that was no, that was good. That was good. I'm proud of you
being here today with you guys. We have a show called Some More News that Cody hosts on the YouTube channel, and a podcast that Cody's going to tell you about now.
It's called Some More News.
Yeah.
And you can watch it on youtube.com/ the name of the show, probably. And Even More News is the name of the podcast version, which is more of a different kind of show, but it's the same people where podcasts are available.
Yeah. So check them both out.
Check it out. Google the names of our names, and you'll find all the stuff that we do.
Google Katie Stoll, Google Cody Johnston, or Google them by their nicknames, C Money and K Money, which is exclusively how I refer to them in private.
It's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. All the time.
I don't really respond because I always forget, but.
Yeah. That's how I type it out. When I'm saying it, I just call you both K Money. But they seem to know.
Mm-hmm.
They know.
This has been.
Oh, great. I definitely. That works.
Come money.
Come money. Yeah.
I just have one last thing to say to you both, and it's that you make love and fun.
Oh, there we go. There we go. Come back for the next part of this series when we'll be talking about another album. Mm-hmm. I don't know which other album. I don't know. How do you guys feel about the Dire Straits? I only know one song that they wrote.
I only know a couple songs.
Limited.
Yeah, I only know Money for Nothing.
Limited references available.
Well, we'll work this out.
We just do Rumors again.
We just do Rumors again. Yeah, there we go.
The White Album?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, the White Album.
And you know what's not an album but doesn't have ads? Our Cooler Zone Media Apple Premium subscription channel
that
you can subscribe to now. Robert, say something.
Yeah, I am not secondhand news, but you know what's firsthand news is if you get a subscription to Cooler Zone Media on Apple's whatever, their thing, then you don't get ads, and then the news isn't secondhand. It's just coming straight to you, unfiltered, you know? Every time I accidentally say something offensive, we leave it in for you guys.
You're welcome.
The cancel,
shit, fuck,
cancel,
piss.
Robert. That's
ass.
Right. It's a lot of piss. Mm-hmm. A lot of piss
a
talk.
A lot of piss.
Yeah, that's my
you
new.
You have to cut piss out of a podcast.
When we say it the way we do, yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really not okay.
I feel any bones?
Yeah. Definitely not okay. Anyway, that's been an episode.
Behind the Bastards is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at EXOJACQUI.com. Made for women by women.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.